Welcome to the Sidelines. It's another Bruins post-game show bonus episode. I am Matt Dolliff. I am here again with Ty Anderson, the Sports Hub's resident Bruins maestro, who had a lot to say about the Bruins this past week. He's probably going to have a lot to say today, going into next week. The round robin is over, and the Bruins were just a complete calamity. They go 0-3. It's just a complete worst-case scenario. They will be the 4 seed. They will play the Carolina Hurricanes next round, which we'll get into a little bit later. Just on today's game, I honestly stopped caring about the seeding at this point. I mean, I think most people did. Just wanted to see them play better, and they did. We were saying in our just texting each other that it was the way they were playing was kind of boring. I thought it was the good kind of boring in the first period. They were simplifying, getting back to the game, executing better. Thought the speed looked good. They didn't look as sloppy. I thought the Capitals actually looked sloppier in the first period. But then, obviously, I guess they used up all their sloppiness in one play on that first goal by the Capitals, which was just, a horrible play by Zdeno Chara to just have the puck whacked in off his own stick. But Jake DeBrus gets off the schneid. I kind of like what I saw out of the guys that they recently inserted in the lineup into the middle of the round robin. But overall, you know, disappointing result for the overall round robin, but at least we're kind of seeing them making progress. But I feel like we're still in a spot where we're going to need the Bruins to take sort of a leap forward as opposed to a step forward once we get to the real playoff game next week. So what are your initial thoughts on the game, Ty?
Great first period, but again, nullified by a complete meltdown. You know, just a lapse in mental toughness, basically, physical toughness as well. Quick thinking, what you need in the postseason with that Oshie play with Chara. I mean, that this is the second game in a row where they've had a great effort spoiled by, you know, last minute, last 90 seconds. You know, it happened with Tyler Johnson with the bad change and sort of just losing a guy there off the big rebound. And then it happens with your captain today. It's just that these are the mistakes that can happen when you're trying to find your game. When you're trying to find, you know, what makes you such a dangerous team, you really need to sort of buckle. You rely on those details being there, right, to sort of save you while you find everything else. And if that's not there, this is going to be a short run. I can accept not having the first line scoring at will if you have the details. If they're not scoring and there are no details and you're not being careful with every possession, every sequence in your own zone, you got nothing. You got nothing but a goaltender that you're going to rely on to make a billion stops, and it's not going to work like that. So that's frustrating for me, but on their one goal, us getting on the ball with Andre Kasha being big. That's big. You need that. That second needs to be going. He's your best winger. It's a sign of life, finally. So maybe that's not something real with that there with Krejci in the middle.
Yeah, Ty is breaking up a little bit. Hopefully it sounds better on the recording, but I don't know. Maybe close some tabs over there or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
The Chara play to me was just bizarre. He was just handling the puck like the other team was making a line change. But he had Oshie right next to him. All Oshie had to do was poke at the other guy's stick and the puck went in. It's like you don't even see that in a regular game, let alone, you know, a playoff game or playoff qualifier, however you want to describe it. So
He
clearly needs to be better. He has to have better awareness of that, especially a guy's played for 500 years.
Yeah, and that's the problem is he didn't have a good tournament at all. I didn't think any of the three games. I didn't think he was that great.
Didn't do much that stood out.
No, and the same thing I think for Krejci. You know, Krejci didn't look good either, and it sparks the question of, okay, are they playing it safe because of their injury histories and the fact they're older, or is it they're older and this is what they look like? You know, that's sort of the debate now that you kind of, you know, it could be both, obviously, but people are going to say, well, either they're old and broken or they're playing it, you know, safe now and they don't want to get hurt. So I want to see what versions we get of these players in game one, but it's frustrating to go through an entire round robin and not have a single win. But not lead at all. Not even a single second playing with a lead. That is frustrating for the Bruins.
Very a sign of hope for the team throughout the three games.
And that kind of speaks to what this team – I mean, when the Bruins have a lead, they're one of the best teams in hockey. I truly believe that. They know how to protect the house, protect the lead. But when they're chasing a game,
and front runners.
When they're chasing a game, it's not pretty. And this is what you've seen now for 180 minutes. You know, 240 if you want to count the Columbus game.
Yep.
That part is difficult for the Bruins. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same concern I've always had about the Capitals, but at least when the Bruins have the puck, is that you see just a sea of humans they have to get through, and they're all big, the offense, defense, they're all big, they're all heavy, they're all tough. Like, the TJ Oshie's their only guy, I feel, who's under, 6'2". I don't know how accurate that is, but just a tough opponent for them to play, and a tough kind of opponent for them to come back against, too. And, yeah. I mean, I don't know, if Chara doesn't screw up like that in the first period, then it's a completely different game. And, I mean, I forget. No, yeah, Wilson scored before DeBrus scored. But, maybe you see a different result if they can escape the final 16 seconds of that first period differently. Yeah, but,
that's so frustrating to think about, right? That a minute 49 basically between the Tyler Johnson goal and the TJ Oshie goal, I mean, that might change your entire fate. That 149 seconds might change their entire playoff fate, which is very frustrating to think about, given the 70 games of work that this team put in to establish themselves. You know, that to have it unravel like that with things that they're typically so good about it drives them nuts if you're a Bruins fan.
Yeah, it's frustrating that they dropped from 1-4 within 3 games. But, I mean, came against the conference best, and, you know, the very tough opponents for them historically, Tampa and Washington, they didn't. Couldn't prove us wrong. Couldn't finish the job. But you mentioned DeBrusk and Kasha earlier. Kasha was a guy that stood out to me in this game, both good and bad ways. I thought he came as advertised. Skating, good. Board play, possession game, good. But again, he had, I guess it was the second best scoring chance of the game. He had the puck in front of the net. He basically pulled a Kasper Dogovic. If you guys remember game one of the 2013 Stanley Cup Finals, I feel like he just needs to hammer that puck, and he has a wide open, point blank from that. He does a little deke, and he just loses it. I don't even know if he actually got a shot off. I don't remember, but I feel like he's got to bury that. And that's my concern, I guess, with him is that is he going to be able to finish the play? Because he does seem like he does everything else well. He does the little things well. But what were your impressions of him in his second game back? Or was that second?
It was his first game.
First game.
First game back. Yeah.
I'm thinking Richie was back
last. Yeah. Yeah. And to answer your question, no shot on goal on that sequence. Jesus. There. Does not get credit for it.
Did he get a Corsi?
There's an attempt there, but there's
all right. His Corsi. All right, he has a Corsi. Then he had a good game there.
Well. So here's the thing, right? Is that with Kasha, the Bruins got him, and one of the things they liked about him was the fact that he took shots from all over the ice. We really haven't seen that. Tonight was the seventh game with the Bruins. He's now played 7 games with Boston. He has 9 shots on goal. When he arrived to Boston, he was averaging, and this is an advanced stat metric. I don't care if you love it or not. It's worthwhile because it's a direct factor here. When he came to Boston, he was leading the Anaheim Ducks with averaging over 10 shots per 60 minutes of 5-on-5 play. He was an even strength shooter, which is what this team needed and still needs. He hasn't been that right now. So I want to see that. I want to see more selfishness from him. I want him to take chances and take shots on goal. He didn't do that. He had that chance, but after that, it was kind of like, all right, now he's becoming more of a playmaker. I don't need that. I need him to land pucks on net here and create some second chance looks for his line mates.
The number one scoring chance of the game was the Bruins' other trade deadline acquisition, the aforementioned Nick Ritchie. I don't want to kill Nick Ritchie. I feel like he will get killed for that missing on that opportunity he had. They didn't bring him in for his skill. He's just not that kind of player. But pile of bodies in front of the net, wide open, and he misses the first one. Goes for the second one. Hope he's there in time, and that's just where you feel like they were snake bitten at that point. What do you think?
Yeah, that was a tough sequence, and it's another instance where I'm watching it going, how did that happen? How did that not go in? What possibly just went down there, you know, to not have that sequence go in the net. And with
that many people on the ice, it goes in slow motion. It lasts like 2 seconds maybe, but you feel like you're sitting there for like a month saying, somebody do put it in, you know?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's part of the problem. You know, it's just, we're talking about that entirely too much, I feel. You know, that there's been too many sequences where they're just a step behind or they're a step off and it's not happening for them. Ultimately, this whole sort of playoff, this three-game round robin was that, right, where they're shooting blanks. They're averaging what, 1.3 goals a game? You're not going to win like that. And that's where you need these guys to finish on their chances. That's what made that line so good last year, was that they Marcus Johansson finished on the second chance looks.
Yep.
You know, and Charlie Coyle finished on the net front battles. You need more of that, and you hope it switches over here for game one against Carolina. But again, just shooting blanks is just the name of the game. These 180 minutes, it's just they did not look good offensively, and they weren't generating enough quality chances, I found.
The third best scoring chance of the game, at least I think, in my opinion, goes to Brad Marchand, who had a chance to tie the game, I think. Mm-hmm. He had the puck alone in front of Holtby, and he tries to go for a backhand top shelf and sends it right up into the net. So I thought the first line was better. Again, they looked good in the first period. It feels like they were playing their game, and it's just like it felt like, you know, they just keep doing this, and eventually they'll just keep plugging, and eventually they'll finish. But again, I mean, they're not doing the last part, which is just getting frustrating. What do you think about the first line?
Trending upward yet again. Hoping that it carries over. I think that there's still a little bit of Superman with that line. I think that there was one sequence I thought where they had better options, but they would try to go 1-on-3, and it's like Capitals are too big, they're too strong, the sticks are too long. It's not going to work. You got to trust your teammates. You got to find that rhythm there. So there's a delicate balance, right? Last time we talked about not trying to make the tape-to-tape passes and, you know, make the highlight reel, so to speak. But
yeah, there was less of that, it felt.
There was less of that, but it's still there a little bit, and that's when you go, oh, okay, you can't do that against a team like this, you know? And, yeah. And so there's that fine line between doing too much and doing too little. So I think that they're getting the basics of their game back, though, which is what I think you should be happy to see.
Yeah, I mean it's understandable on like a human level that if the puck just isn't going in, you'll start to resort to that fancy stuff a little more because you're thinking too much and you're just getting desperate. Mm-hmm. But you know, hopefully that means that they can score quickly against Carolina in that first game, and then maybe they're off to the races from there. Speaking of that, hopefully Jake DeBrusque is off to the races after Jake Mario Lemieux DeBrusque reaches behind himself and fires the puck home. That was a nice-looking goal and the best thing he's done in months. And, you know, you said online, hopefully this is the start of a streak, because he hasn't seemed like a streaky scorer in the past. He's gone on these runs where he scored, like, you know, 12 points in 10 games or whatever. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's coming right in time. That was a good goal for him, and hopefully good things moving forward for that line.
Yeah, definitely. And with DeBrusque, I'd have to go back and find the exact numbers, but I remember sort of being wowed by how many times he would score a goal, and the next game he would score a goal. So to that point, exactly. He scores goals in bunches. He's prone to prolonged slumps, but he's also prone to, you know, just lighting the world on fire for about 10 games in a row. So the Bruins obviously hope it's going to be something like that with him this time around. And one thing that I do want to say when it comes to their offensive struggles right now, is that they played three excellent goaltenders. Holpe's had a down year, but he's always been good against Boston.
Holpe was good today.
He was great, yeah. I thought they could have challenged him more.
Rask was good, too. Both goals, yeah, exactly. Were good today, I thought.
But I think that that's important to note here, because in the first round, the Bruins are going against Peter Mrazek or James Reimer. And that's a big drop-off. From Carter Hart, yeah. Vasilevsky, and Holpe to those guys is a big drop off. So maybe this will actually help them. You know, if you want to be a glass half full person, maybe going against three excellent, gigantic goaltenders is going to help you now when you go against Mrazek, who is not necessarily a towering goaltender. He's not, you know, a 6'5", 6'6" kind of guy. And he's not as great as those guys. So maybe that helps you now. You know, maybe you shoot blanks, you have four goals on 93 shots in 180 minutes, but then that warms you up for a step down, you know, in Peter Mrazek, and maybe that is the equalizer, you know, in round one against Carolina. But I do think that getting DeBrusque on the board, it will be a massive weight off his back. And when he gets going, the other stuff follows, winning the battles, being tough in front of the net. just a stronger, you know, three zone game from him. So again, you hope this is the start of something big for him. If you're Bruce Cassidy and the Bruins, but if not, you can take a little bit of comfort in knowing that you have both Richie and Kasha. So you can maybe move DeBrus down to the third line if you gotta. You don't want to, but it's there if you need to now. Versus, okay, well, what do you got? You know, when you have these two deadline ads in your lineup, it gives you a lot more options.
So they switched in Connor Clifton for Matty Grizz today, right? Is that what the switch mm-hmm. they made? Yeah, I mean, I like that's a switch that I can live with more than if they took Jeremy Lauzon out of the lineup. Maybe they just thought they needed a little bit more of a physical edge in there, as opposed to what Grizzly does well. So what did you think about Clifton in this game?
Pretty good, but with Clifton, it's hard to get a read because I feel like when he's playing his game, I'm noticing him more than I did today. That sort of Clifton hockey, right? That's what they say. There's a little bit more edge to it, a little bit more tough. This was his first game since March 10th. His first game since I think December 29th. So he really hasn't played much at all these last 8 months. So it's difficult for me to say that he's ready for a ramp up and he's ready to be a game one kind of player for them. I think that I was telling Bruce Cassidy after the game today, said that he thought Lauzon has been just okay. He said he's been okay, which if you're a guy fighting for a roster spot or fighting for that 6D spot, you need to be better than okay. No, exactly. So that said, I still like Lauzon over John Moore. And right now I give him the edge over Clifton, if only because he's played more. And right. Clifton, it's a hard ramp up, you know, going from playing two games since the start of the calendar year to game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs is pretty difficult.
Brandon Carlo, I thought, was better in this game than the first two. Maybe that's not saying much because he really wasn't good at all, especially in the last game. But he had three shots on goal. You know, he was active in the play. I didn't notice him as far as like making mistakes defensively or in the neutral zone. So, what do you think about his progress right now?
Again, better today. I thought he was good. I thought McAvoy was a lot better today. I thought that he was. I mean, outside of the Wilson goal, I thought he was arguably their best player. And obviously the Wilson goal, I mean, he's hunting for offense and they need a win to have a chance at number three. So you understand the mindset behind it. But I think that both those guys are again, trending upward. I'm not worried about McAvoy. I'm not all that worried about Carlo if he continues to play the strong D zone game. I didn't notice any massive breakdowns or bad giveaways. Today, which is what I'm worried about with him. That's the only thing I worry about with him. Anything else he gives you is a bonus, but I think the D-zone play and taking care of the puck in his own zone is what makes him such a key piece of that second pairing.
So we'll look ahead a little bit to the Carolina Hurricanes here. A lot of the same team that we saw last year, the team that got swept right out of the playoffs. So even though the Bruins haven't looked great in the round robin, I still like them a lot in this series coming up, and hopefully you see them flip the proverbial switch. But just looking at their line combos here, they're definitely stronger down the middle than last year because they have Vincent Trocheck in there at center, mm-hmm. and they still have Jordan Staal. They have Sebastian Aho up top. Andrei Svechnikov is becoming a better player. He took a big step forward this year. He looked good from what I saw of him against the Rangers. I didn't watch a ton of that. And defensively, they just don't scare me. If Sammy Vatanen on their top pairing, like he can score a little bit, but I worry more about opposing defenses if they're solid, big, heavy, and stout on the back end. And they really just don't have much of that. They do have old friend Joel Edmondson, who was on the Blues last year, so maybe that'll make me shake in my boots a little bit. But do you have any?
Don't sleep on Jacob Slavin. He's really good.
I like Slavin. I should say beyond Slavin. But I mean, unless Slavin takes over these games, I just don't see much that scares me. So you talked about the goaltending earlier, but do you have any initial impressions on them, the guys in front of the goalies?
Yeah, if you watch that series against New York at all, that you saw a team that is just relentless. They play like Rob Brindamore played. I mean, they're all over you. A lot of pressure. I think what's interesting about the Trocheck addition is what it does for their PK. This is an attacking PK. This is not, okay, we're gonna try to lull you to sleep here. No, they're going to come at you. And when you have David Pastrnak and Torrey Krug as sort of your guys on the blue line there, that might be an issue over the course of a seven-game series. They might have some shorthanded chances here. You know, I believe Teravainen also plays some PK minutes for them as well. So they put their skill guys in their PK, which is really interesting to watch. But that's something that I'd be mindful of. Their defense, while not overly imposing, as you mentioned, quick transition. They can switch to the attack mode very quickly with Vatanen. Dougie Hamilton will be back in action for them, we believe, too, when action gets real.
He's not in this list I'm looking at right now. So.
No, he was questionable to play game three against the Rangers, but they ultimately held off. So I would assume he's going to be ready to go for this series, whether it's game one or not, we'll see. But it seems like he's coming back. So that concerns me. The big thing for me is Svechnikov, because I think that when people get excited about a Carolina matchup, they're remembering last year a little bit too much. And if you remember last year, Svechnikov was not 100%. He was knocked out by Ovechkin in the first round. He came back, but he definitely was 100%. He was a total non-factor. You watch him this year, he's stronger, he's smarter, he knows what to do. He scores a hat trick against the Rangers in game two. So that's a player that you gotta be mindful of. Damn good player for them.
I think you gotta treat him like an Art Ross candidate in the series, like that, because that's what he's gonna be moving forward. You gotta treat him like Ovechkin basically at this point.
Yeah, and you gotta bother him. Remember last year? Remember they made Justin Williams have a meltdown basically, and it was just so out of character.
Yeah, he ate a poop sandwich. What did he say?
Yeah. He said he had a poop sandwich.
Yeah, I'm filled with poop.
And
you gotta fire the guy that made this.
That's something I wonder if they can get under their skin again. You know, maybe the younger guys can get under their skin a little bit. So that's where you hope that they can rattle the cage a little bit and get them off their game more than New York could, which is something I think they can do. I think that Corrales line, when it's going, can be annoying like that.
Give me a poop sandwich. This is highly unprofessional. All right. Well, Justin Williams is going to be there still, I think. So hopefully he doesn't strap on his playoff acumen, because he's known for those big goals. But
He's a bit of a hardo, isn't he?
A little bit of a hardo. He's kind of earned that, right? I'd say.
Well, he said that I don't know if you caught this in like the first round. He said that he didn't like how they were playing both teams as goal horns. It's like, well, if we're the home team, they shouldn't play their goal horn. It's like, dude, it's empty arena. Who cares?
Dude, you're in Toronto.
Yeah, you're in Toronto.
It's a pandemic.
It's a really bizarre thing to have a hard opinion on, in my opinion, but whatever.
So when Todd Angeli sings the national anthem, what are they putting this a-hole up there for? Like, yeah,
exactly.
Who cares? I thought it was, like, as a viewer, I thought it was a nice touch. I guess the players care a little much about that.
Yeah.
So, I think we can leave it at that. If you made it this far, thanks. I love you. I appreciate you for listening. Hopefully you're still interested in Bruins content with the way they've been playing. But, I mean, I don't know. I feel good about how they played today, because it's the Capitals, and it's always a game where you think, like, oh, there's always the chance that they just get blown out and they have no chance. They get smothered when they have the puck because of the Capitals' size on defense. Caps really miss John Carlson. I thought the whole fluidity of their game looks completely different, a little off without him. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe that'll help if they meet again. But I don't think it'll be a sweep against the Hurricanes this time. I think I'm still picking Bruins. I'll say Bruins in six games. Do you want to make a prediction?
Not yet. I want to watch a little bit more Carolina I will say this, that this I wrote about this yesterday, that the Islanders were the better matchup for them. But maybe this is the exact matchup the Bruins need to wake the hell up. You know, maybe this is the kind of team that I was mentioning, the attack mode, the quicker D, the skillful forwards. Maybe this is what gets them going. So maybe look at it that way if you want to be a glass half full person. I do think that ultimately they're going to look better than they did in these last three games. You'd hope they do, because if they don't, this is going to be over in five or six games.
Jesus Christ. I hope not. I mean, maybe Carolina has a little bit of motivation after getting swept last year. They don't want to get embarrassed again, so. I think we'll see the Carolina at least win a game or two. But should be an entertaining series for the reasons you said, all speed and skill on both teams. And we'll see what happens. Thanks for listening. Sports Hub Sidelines bonus episode, Bruins post-game coverage. And we'll have a new podcast for you sometime early next week. We'll have probably even more of a preview of this Carolina series coming up. And we'll talk to you again soon.